Well, it's a very simple answer. Our country's in trouble. We're $17 trillion in debt, and it appears that the culture of corruption in D.C. has just simply taken over our country. And, you know, I'll tell you that I did not have the aspirations to run for the U.S. Senate. I've spent the last 4 years in our state legislature standing on good conservative principles and trying to fight the good fight of opposing government spending, opposing more government programs, opposing more taxes, and doing exactly what I told South Dakotans I would do when they first asked me to run back in 2010. So, you know, I spent a long time away from home, 23 and a half years serving our country, 18 of them overseas. And I can tell you that for 23 and a half years, I thought of nothing but coming home and enjoying this great state and the freedoms we have. So last year, Argus Leader did an article early on in the spring there, reporting out that folks were asking, trying to recruit me to run in the U.S. Senate race. And, you know, I was selfish. I didn't want to run. I realized folks were asking me to take on a rich, career, special interest-funded Goliath of a political machine. But at the same time, I knew what was going on in our country. I knew the problems we were having, and that, you know, that $17 trillion in debt is weighing on the backs of my children and my grandchildren. And last July, I had my second grandson, Noah, and I realized that I do have still an obligation to offer my services to the great people of South Dakota. So I took on the responsibility to offer up my services once more to him to run as an actual conservative in this U.S. Senate race.
Now that word conservative, I know in the past you've called yourself the most conservative elected official in South Dakota. How do you define being a conservative? What does that mean to you, and what does it mean to be a conservative in the year 2014?
Well, I tell you, you know, and all the politicians are jumping on claiming they're conservative because they know that that's a trusted term here in South Dakota. But I'm not a politician. I'm an actual Christian conservative Republican. And in order to be a conservative, you have to have a little bit of action, a little bit of bona fides there to back it up, and I do. Mike Rounds, during his tenure as governor, exploded state spending by almost 64%. He increased the amount of government. He increased taxes. And Larry Rodent was right along with him. And my first year in office was 2011. And in 2011, if you remember, we had to deal with the $127 million deficit that had been created over several years of overspending by the Rounds administration. So the 2011 was my baptism by fire in the South Dakota legislature. And we cut government. We cut the government that Mike Rounds had exploded here in South Dakota, and we got our budget back on track. Now, in the last 3 years after that, I've been in the legislature fighting to oppose the increase in spending and the increase in government that has continued here in our South Dakota government. And the difference between myself and my opponents is, I mean, you look at the voting records. Don't listen to what any of us have to say, because the proof is in the actual records. And to that point, if folks remember, when Larry Rodent announced his candidacy and said Mike Rounds wasn't very conservative, right away Mike Rounds released both their records showing that together they had helped increase taxes and fees by about 60 different tax and fee increases. And they have an identical record on the budget and also on tax and fee increases. Well, we took that and we did a research and we showed how I had voted on these tax and fee increases the last 4 years. And during that period of time, I voted and spoke against more tax and fee increases, double the tax and fee increases in that 3 year period of time than what Mike Rounds and Larry Rodent had in about 20 years time of looking at their records. So the difference between myself and them is I'm an actual conservative Republican with an actual conservative voting record. You know, in this case, folks need to look at that and realize that there's a lot of empty talk out there and there's a lot of political rhetoric out there, and they need to wade through that. But the way they can do that is actually take a look at the voting records, and we're happy to share them. And we've been out there campaigning and sharing our voting records and showing up for debates.
So essentially, if people are wondering what sort of U.S. senator you would be, it's important to just, all they have to do is look at your record serving in the State House?
Well, I think that folks can tell where a man is going by where he's been. And what folks are looking for nowadays is an actual conservative that will go to D.C. and cut spending and cut the federal government. And I have the only record in this race of having an actual track record of doing so. So yes, they can know where I'm going and how I would serve them in the U.S. Senate by how I've served them so far here in the last 4 years in South Dakota. And one of the things, the way I've served them, is I'm the only candidate that has provided a detailed roadmap of the things that I will support and the things I will oppose if South Dakotans send me to D.C. to serve them. And that's on my website. Matter of fact, I put that out there in writing the day I announced on August 18th. And I say what I mean what I say, and I do what I say. And South Dakotans need to have that reassurance. They need to have that trust in their elected officials. And, you know, sadly, all of us have a disgust for Congress at this point. And as an honest man, I can tell you my first instinct was not to run to D.C. to be part of that mess. My first response was to hunker down here in South Dakota and enjoy the life that I've built for my family and be a better father and a better grandfather and spend more time with my family. But if honest public servants like myself don't take on these $9 million of liberal East Coast funded career politicians like Mike Rounds, then we are stuck with these same career politicians that go to D.C. to go along, to get along, to get ahead. And that's exactly the problem that we have in D.C. And we can't blame this mess on solely on the Democrats, because it was moderate Republicans like Mike Rounds that went there, that increased spending, that increased government programs, that increased the deficit spending, just like he did when he was here as the governor of South Dakota. And we as South Dakotans need to realize that if that's what he did here in South Dakota, that's what he's going to do in D.C. And that's exactly what we don't need going to D.C.
Looking ahead to the possibility of your being a U.S. senator, you talk about your disgust of what's been going on in Congress and the mess. How do you see yourself fitting in? How do you see yourself correcting the problems that you see currently in Congress?
Well, I tell you, one of the things that they hammer into to Marines is leadership is by example. And I would lead in D.C. by leading with example. And that is, I wouldn't sell out to every special interest group that wanted to put their hand in my pocket and deposit money in there like some of these career politicians are doing now. I don't want a career in politics. I don't personally want to go to D.C. I want to live here in South Dakota, but as an old Marine, they always taught when the country's in trouble, you run towards the sound of gunfire. Well, the trouble's in D.C., and if South Dakotans approve of guys like Mike Lee, Justin Amash, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul standing on principle and demanding that we cut government, that's where I would be, is standing alongside some of these new, fresh, conservative, brave Americans that are willing to take on the culture of corruption in D.C. and try and rein our government in and try and get our country back on a track that we can all be proud of.
Would you be open to compromising when necessary as a U.S. senator?
There are some things that I won't compromise on, but I would happily encourage everyone to talk with my Democratic colleagues that I've served with in the last 4 years in the legislature. I have supported bills that my Democratic colleagues have brought that I could support on issues such as I'm pro-life. I'm going to tell you right now, I won't compromise on the lives of the unborn. That's not something I'll compromise on. I won't compromise on your constitutional rights, your Second Amendments. I won't compromise on expanding government. Our government is so big at this point that it is crushing the nation and crushing the future of our kids. But on trying to get to that path, I've compromised in the last 4 years in the legislature. The difference between myself and guys like Mike Rounds is I won't compromise my principles. And that's the difference between me and these career politicians.
Now, you've talked about the problems with big government and debt. Beyond that, what do you see are some of the other important issues affecting South Dakota as well as our nation as a whole?
Well, the number one job of the federal government is national defense, and I am by far the most eminently qualified senatorial candidate in the U.S. Senate race. I spent 23 and a half years working in the belly of the beast of the Department of Defense as both a Marine and also as an NCIS special agent and investigator. and working counterintelligence, counterterrorism, force protection, and criminal investigations on behalf of this country. I've been in about 20 different countries. I spent 18 and a half years overseas. So I got an actual worldly experience of seeing how the world runs and understanding how that impacts our foreign policy. We have to have someone in the U.S. Senate that has that experience that can deal with the intricate matters of dealing with the defense budget. And our defense budget right now is huge. And one of the problems is you've had these politicians, again, padding our budgets, our defense budget, with oftentimes things that are not for national defense. And we have to have someone that will go to D.C. and take a principled stand and say, listen, you know, sending $4 billion worth of tanks and airplanes to Egypt is not our national defense. And, you know, the real irony is, realize we're still sending China foreign aid. I want that to sink in. We're still sending China foreign aid. We have to have somebody willing to go there and challenge the culture that has unfortunately evolved in D.C. and make a principled stand, be willing to stand and fight and try and rein this country in. But one of the national things we've got to be concerned about always is our national defense. But, you know, there's a lot of folks that are very concerned, and rightfully so, that this country has turned to spying on our own people. It's unacceptable. We have to protect the rights of American citizens, and we have to rein that type of conduct in. It's unacceptable that our federal government is abusing the rights of American citizens.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting, and we're talking with State Representative States Nelson, who's a Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. On your website, you have a contract with South Dakota. Among the things on there, you support the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. Do you see that there's another alternative to what people are calling Obamacare?
Well, I believe this country has to get back to what worked in the past. And that's, again, that goes to the conservative nature. Conservatives believe in using tried and proven methods, not departing from those tried and proven methods for a radical new approach. I was blessed with my first child, my beautiful daughter Lindy, in 1985. I was a snot-nosed 18-year-old pimply-faced boy waiting to join the Marine Corps, and I did not have health coverage for my family. I could afford my daughter. You know, we were able to have a child. We were able to afford the health care. We have to get back to the free market approach where we had affordable health care. What we have right now in the Obamacare is not affordable health care. Everybody on both sides of the aisle is wincing at what a tragedy and what a catastrophic failure this is. It has driven up the cost of health care. We have to extricate the country from this mess and get things squared away. Now, there are some reforms that we have to take into account. We have tort reform. We have to make so that health insurance is portable across state lines. Put the competition back in there. We also have to look at there's currently American people are being ripped off. If you take a look at the average pharmaceutical cost for American citizens, and then you take a look across the rest of the world, you'll see that a lot of times these very same pharmaceutical items are charged to America at a much higher rate than they are the rest of the world. We have to protect ourselves from getting preyed upon in such a fashion, but we have to get back to a healthcare system that was affordable and that worked. You know, these are things that we must take a look at. I'm not one that says we need to replace Obamacare with another form of Obamacare. I'm for getting Obamacare out of, well, it's fully implemented here in South Dakota. Mike Rounds helped enact Senate Bill 38 and 43 in 2011. It was pre-filed. It was put into South Dakota law. They applied for grants to enact Obamacare here in South Dakota. So as South Dakotans are fully aware and feeling the pain of it, Obamacare was enacted here in South Dakota. Mike Rounds was even put on a task force with Tom Daschle. If folks do a Google search of Tom Daschle, Mike Rounds, Rapid City Journal, and Medical Task Force, they'll see where Mike Rounds worked with Tom Daschle to enact that stuff across the state of South Dakota and across the United States. Bottom line is, we've got to repeal Obamacare. We've got to get this country back on a stable track and make it so that health care is affordable, health insurance is affordable to everyone, and also address the problems that are driving up the costs of health care to begin with.
Now, no matter what people think about your stance on the issues, I think most would agree that you're very passionate about politics, even though you say you're not a professional politician and you don't want to go to Washington, D.C. It's something that you feel you have to do to serve your country and South Dakota. I'm just wondering where that passion for politics comes from.
Well, I would slightly disagree with you. I don't have a passion for politics. I do have a passion for serving my country and these folks here in South Dakota that I love. My dad was a state trooper for 32 and a half years. I was originally born here in Sioux Falls, and my dad served South Dakotans for 32 and a half years as a state trooper. But the one thing Dad took immense pride in is he called himself a public servant. So from a very young age, I was presented with a hero. My dad was my hero, and so I grew up with that, and I grew up seeing how patriotic my father was. My dad and all five of my uncles served in the Army. I had several uncles that served during World War II. I had, great uncles. I had a great uncle that served in World War I. My great-grandfather, Henry Becker, was a prisoner of war during the Civil War. He served for the Union. My family has a long, proud history of public service, and in 1985, I joined the United States Marine Corps because, to me, that was the tip of the spear of being able to serve our country. And in 1999, I had to get out of the Marine Corps. I was injured previously. Before that, arresting a violent felon who hit me with his car resisting arrest. I did take him into custody. He did go to jail, but it messed up my back and my knees. It happened in 92, and it shows you how stubborn I am because I managed to stay in the Marine Corps for another 7 years. But ultimately, those injuries caught up to me in the Marine Corps. Said the needs and the wants of the Marine Corps outweigh the needs and the wants of the Marine. But I didn't have enough punishment. I went on after that, and I served another 10 years as a federal agent with NCIS overseas. And in 2008, I retired and came home and had promised to be a better father and a better husband to my family. But folks asked me to look at running for the legislature in 2010. And at that time, I was in District 25, and there was an incumbent Democrat representative, incumbent Democrat in the Senate. And I did not care for the way they were representing me and the folks I loved. And I ran, and when I announced, they laughed because I was in the least populated section of that district. And the reality was I was away from home for 23 and a half years. When I ran in 2010, about five people in my district knew who I was. And I went from that to beating the incumbent by almost 1,000 votes and winning in a five-way race. And so I've got a passion for service, and I've got a passion for standing up for what is right and trying to protect the society that I've taken so many oaths to serve and protect. And one of the things that had woken me up last year was when folks were asking me to run for the U.S. Senate was... You know, as a young kid, as a Marine, you always brag you would give up to and including your dying breath for this country. And my pastors reminded me that I still had a lot of kick left in me, and I still had a civic duty to serve. So I took that obligation on, and we've been running hard, real hard, since August 18th of last year.
Since August of last year, we're getting closer now to the primary. It's coming up in June. What will you be doing over the next couple of months to win your party's nomination?
Well, I'm going to be getting out all across South Dakota and trying to look as many South Dakotans in the eye and let them know that they got a choice. They do not have to accept the prescribed $9 million East Coast special interest bought and paid for career politician Mike Rounds. They've got a choice between that career politician and this public servant who has served them with loyalty, honesty, and dedication, who has always put their needs and their interests above my own. And that's what we have to get back to electing into our offices. This country cannot stand more of these career politicians that go to D.C. because of their own political aspirations, that'll go there to go along, to get along, to get ahead. And one thing that folks know, whatever side of the aisle are on here in South Dakota, is they know that I can't be bought. I can't be intimidated, and that I have done the right things in the South Dakota legislature. I've taken on even people in my own party when they were wrong in what they were doing and what they were pushing on to South Dakotans. And that's what we have to send back to D.C., our public servants. And I'd ask people, measure who you're electing into office off these very basic principles. If they wouldn't have been with our founding fathers in signing the Declaration of Independence at the risk of death to themselves and their family, then don't vote for them. I mean, it's that simple. We cannot continue to send these career politicians into our public offices and into D.C. because that is exactly what the problem is here. It's not the problem of Republicans or Democrats. The problem is these career politicians that are more concerned with their own political aspirations than they are with the future of this country.
Well, Stace Nelson, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you for having us. One thing I'd like to leave you with is South Dakotans across the state are saying that they've lost hope, and that breaks this old Marine's heart, because we have a great country, but we have to take it back, and we have to put good, honest public servants into office. And I would ask South Dakotans, please get involved. We don't have to accept what's been prescribed us by D.C. and New York special interests. They can send this old broken-down Marine to D.C. to fight for them and their families and to bring some honesty and public servitude back to Congress. But I do thank you for your time, and I'd like to tell you, God bless and Semper Fidelis.